Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you're sitting quietly. Oh, our music is on tonight. Hello there. I would like to welcome you to the February 4th, 2008 show. And this is Nancy speaking, and I hope that you are a return guest. If not, I hope that we can talk tonight and you will learn something that maybe you haven't known before. This is a very interesting show. Something I will share with you is that there is a death happening in our family. And tonight's presentation, the talk that we will be discussing, is the death process, what death looks like, how does it feel? Hopefully not from your perspective for quite a while, but as we witness our people passing away, how is it to them that they will feel this? And I want to share with you that this is a very sensitive subject, something I don't take lightly, yet the mystery and the wonder of it amazes me. I talk to spirit people every day. Whenever I have a client that allows me to speak to their family, it's a second joy to believe that we can do this and that we do survive is something that is my personal goal. I want you to feel comfortable being a human being and being alive and living the existence that you chose, that when time for you to leave your flesh and become spirit people again is a joyous occasion. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I would like to read to you really quick the plan for tonight is the process of dying, becoming a ghost versus a spirit, how they look different and experience existence in their world. There's a movie that I would like to bring up, as well as any others that you people calling in would like to discuss. I would like to mention this time that I have called and written in, and they say that the switchboard is working, but after every show I see that I have callers, they are not shown on my board. I will pay attention. If you try to call in and you're not getting through, please write an email to Blog Talk Radio people and let them know. I would really appreciate that. In the death process, it is a mystery, but you want to look at it and have it appear to you to be a birth process, as difficult it is to come into life and to be born. The throes of pain of being born for the mother and the child, we want to reverse that, and at the end of our life, the pains of passing, the pains for the body to go through the throes of rebirth. And it is an exciting time to think that, as marvelous as it is, to create your existence in flesh, to grow from a spot no bigger than a pin head to a baby of 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds being born, then you want to reverse the process and your body needs to reshift itself to go back to the beginnings of the origins of the molecules it was created from, as that expression from dust to dust. But the process that I would like to speak of that would also bring comfort to your soul. One of the reads that I've enjoyed over the years is Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce believed that the soul joined with flesh at the first breath of life. He wrote only a few books, 9 of them, I believe. And as many of the other books that I have written, read from Brian Weiss, Many Lives, Many Masters, to so many that almost Arthur Ford, Andrew Jackson Davis, Emanuel Swedenborg, all of them spoke of life, of this world, but the life beyond. And so when we think of the passing of somebody, how marvelous it is that to create the life, to come into this world, is also to take apart the life so the spirit can be finally free and go on to the next existence, and not to make light of that. There's a couple of movies I'd like to make reference to. And maybe if you haven't had a chance to watch them, one of them is Cocoon. Another one is High Spirits that I'd like to speak of tonight. And remember, there's so many wonderful books and great movies out there that will discuss the death process or show it to you. In the movie, there's another one I'd like also, Ghost. In the movie Ghost, Patrick Swayze's is murdered, and he's taken to the hospital. And as the gurneys take him into a working area, they pass a room where they're being a young man is on a gurney, and the doctors are working around him trying to save his life. And as the death has happened, the people in the operating room theater are, okay, we got to call it. And just as they did, it's almost like there's an essence breaking from the body as though molecules are leaving the body, and our perception of that is possibly a mist, a ghost, feeling. There's a kind of like, I know that one of you may call in and say there was a study done and 8 ounces is missing out of her body at the moment of death. And there's some kind of a gradual pulling away, pulling out of body, not so different as an out-of-body experience, but the totality of the breakup is complete. Most of the time, people have said a story to me of I've witnessed my mom dad's passing, and there was a mist of a smoky, cloudy thing around the face and the head. And it appears to me from the passings I've witnessed and been near that there's some sort of leaving around the breathing area. And that kind of confirms Edgar Cayce believed that the first breath, we take in the soul to the core of our body. And I am a psychic medium, and I've been in the business since 1990, virtually almost every day. And I join with people. I use no tools. And when we connect with our voice, not always a voice, because I do have to admit I do emails, there's some kind of a blending. People will say to me, I can feel your electricity of your essence around my shoulders and around my throat. And that is where I enjoy joining with somebody. And the essence that we of the soul come in with the first breath, I then go down the breathing apparatus, and I go down maybe 2 inches. And at that point, and I'm talking living people during readings has given me this kind of proof, I then join with time. And I'm not positive I join with your soul level, but there seems to be an open conversation at that point. And it's not a click, but a slap, kind of a falling down on an area. And that's where I join. Okay. So when a dying process has started and those last breaths are taken, that which we call our time ends. And then we slip from that space I join with, and we come at the esophagus and we leave the face area. And that in the movie Ghost, when the young man is passing away in the operating theater, the people who come in with Patrick Swayze's body, they witness the death, the Patrick Swayze as a spirit man following his body, witnessed that man leaving his body. And that was a very amazing moment. So in some ways, Patrick Swayze isn't aware of it, but he also left his body. But it was so fast and instantaneous to him that he didn't see himself leaving in molecules. So as a person passes over, that the feeling of falling and leaping out of the body is actually from the face area first. Okay, so I don't want to overwhelm you. We're talking a very sensitive subject. There's even a process of dying in my own family. And even though we are sensitive to that which is happening in our lives, it is a joyous moment of rejoining those that we call our spirit family. Okay, so we have our audience coming in the chat room. I love this chat room. Anyway, I want to get back to what I was talking about. I don't leave the trend of thought because I can get off on a tangent. And I've talked about this so long that it's very comfortable to me. I've done this for so long. It's almost aligned to someone who has an occupation where they work with. I was just watching a show and then was working with equipment. And I was thinking, I imagine that person knowing that equipment so well that it's second nature to them. But for me, this is second nature. Though for you, okay, I see your question. Let me address it in a minute. About 15, 20 minutes is when I usually start asking those questions. So I'm going to, this lady says, K-V-I-L-L-A, my daughter passed in November, and we're still having a very hard time with it, especially my youngest son. I think she is all right, as I've seen her in dreams. Does she have any messages for Matthew? Oh, it's very difficult. This is hard because she was young, and you must have even a younger child. So maybe what I will say, be very careful. She is with a, you said you saw her in dreams, but you didn't say who greeted her. I don't see any other people. She was greeted by a larger bodied woman, a grandmother figure. And I do believe that the grandmother's husband was with her when they greeted this child. Didn't say how old she was. And Ray is a client of mine in Northern California. His daughter was diagnosed with a brain tumor. It went very quickly. And when later on she came to me, and he was grieving terrible, and she said, I chose this body because I knew I wouldn't be there very long, and I could experience life with that family and know what love is. So that's how you explain it to this young boy, saying she was so grateful to be born to a body because there's more souls in heaven than there are life experiences. And I really believe she shows me to be in a party dress of some sort. I don't know how old she is, but she looks younger probably than make it sound like she was. Give me a little note here how old she was. She makes me think she's in a bright colored party dress. I did this once, and some gal called back and said, that's what we buried the gal in. So let me know. Sorry, Nancy, interrupting your topic. I will wait my questions. Well, the only thing is, some of these questions, as I scroll the questions on the screen, I'm still learning how to do the chat room, and I don't want to miss someone's question. I know it's very important. The passing of loved ones is so difficult. I'm dealing with a lady whose son was murdered in Tucson. I'm in an area by Tombstone, Arizona, and I was telling her how my father was killed by a drunk driver when I was six, and I remember his mother, my grandmother, in her 80s, telling people how she had just lost her child. And she was also in the metaphysics, which makes us realize that we as human beings, we have lost a child who is also a human being in flesh. And we lose sight of the fact that we're actually a spirit joined with flesh to enjoy human experience. And it's difficult to get past that. As you know, I would not want to lose any of my children. So the grieving process is lengthy at times. You may not recover, but you have to be grateful. We have to cherish the time and the energy the child gave us before the child passed away. But this could take hours of talking about this. I'd like to get back to the topic of tonight, and then the half hour, I would like to answer any questions as quickly as I can. It appears that when the death process happens, it's not always as comfortable, but it can be more comfortable. When people are in a spiritual enlightenment. I called people, you wouldn't be listening to the show if you weren't also in agreement that something happens beyond the living flesh condition. And it is amazing to me that every day I can talk to a client, and I'm witnessing a family around them. And Nancy, the human being, struggles with life just like everybody else. But the psychic Nancy is so smart. I listen to Nancy talk to clients, and I step back as though I'm witnessing another conversation. I go, I am so in belief that something goes on, and that if we can be comfortable that we're here exactly to the day that we're meant to, it's very difficult when we talk to children. But for those seniors that are passing away, to cherish and honor the time here and to allow them to step aside for the new generation is their gift to us, and their gift to the rest of us is that we have great memories. But anyway, it appears that when we suffer from disease, lingering problems of the body, that leaving the flesh, though a relief at times, when you go and you left your body, they don't instantaneously go to full body again. But a car accident or a tragedy that leaves the body in a place of death very suddenly, the spirit, though shocked, will sometimes leave full-bodied. I had a woman friend pass away, and she was a spina bifida person. And she told me once, she said, I would have been 5'10". And I go, wow. So when she passed away, she showed up in my house one day, and she was standing on the legs that could never support her. From the waist down, she wore children's clothes. From the waist up, she was a big girl. So she showed up at my home, and she was standing. She says, "Nancy, Nancy." And I go, "Wow, look at you. You're walking." She says, "But F, I'm still only 4'3". So it, even though her soul would know that she could be perfect, it takes time to create perfect when you've never had, like, arms and legs. So a car accident person, I had a gentleman come to me. He was changing, now remember this, ladies and gentlemen, he was changing the CD in the radio. And this is a story of Pat's family. And that will come out, Proof of Soul Survival. If you go to my website, nancymaps.com, on the right side, scroll it down, you'll see three more websites that I'm still developing. I've got more testimonial ghost stories, dating stories, and my time has been really short lately. Really, really busy, but I'll explain that later. Anyway, Ghost Goblin Spirits, Proof of Soul Survival, and Dating Relationship Psychics. I have other ghost stories in there. But anyway, Proof of Soul Survival will be the family of Pat and Susan and Michelle. Well, Pat's daughter's fiance was killed changing the CDs in his player in the car. And when I was visiting Pat's family and this tragedy had just happened, the daughter wanted to know, and unfortunately she was left with a child. And the fiance just rushed in, fully dressed, shoes on, and of course at the time of the accident the body was disrupted, but clearly full-bodied and well-preserved. And he was absolutely quite surprised, dumbfounded, but quite whole. Yet when I've seen my seniors pass away from disease, they often will sleep, and if they're awakened at death, my family greeting them, then they'll go to a recovery. It's almost like collecting themselves, a vibration that's off-shifted because of the illness and disease. So in some ways, not that I would choose an accident, but death, knowing it's coming, would be a way to say the farewells and get yourself and your affairs in order. But keep in mind that it is the body that's ill and passing away, not your soul. So if you think of yourself as whole and the body needs to reverse the process to be born, but then to be reborn, you'll go into spirit largely intact and quite whole. I had a lady come to me. The mother-in-law had been living with her for years. And the mother-in-law's illness was so long and prolonged that it was not killing her. So she was 95 when she finally passed away. And the daughter came to me, and, well, she was in her 60s, the daughter-in-law, and I said, "Oh, my gosh, she's sleeping. The angels that are taking care of her," and this will be for another show, those who have never been born are caretakers, and we can have them take care of us until we do recover. Anyway, the mother-in-law had stated to her, without my knowing, that she wanted to sleep for 100 years. And I said to Jenny, and I said, "Well, your mother-in-law says that people who are taking care of her, the never-been-borns, are taking care of her, and they said that she has almost 100 years to sleep in a purple satin bedspread." And, of course, Jenny would just start crying. She says, "Oh, my gosh, that's the bedspread she had on her bed, that she had been ill for almost 20 years. So she was so fatigued from life that she has chose to sleep for 100 years to kind of catch up." The other couple movies I'd like to introduce, and to not make light of this, this is still a topic that's quite serious, is High Spirits. The movie High Spirits, I mentioned once before because it's the silliest thing, but they might have had a psychic, just like in the movie Ghost, when Whoopi, remember she was that pretend medium, and spirit people would come in and her clothes would puff out. Well, I've had that happen. It's called transfiguration, and it's like wearing an outfit that you would put on to go into the ocean, a wetsuit, I think they call them, and I felt so tight in it. So it's not quite, but I want to share a scene with you. In the movie, and we in here on little notice of what spirit world is like, and I'm trying to cover as much just to entertain you, to give you enlightenment on what this is about. If you want a session with me or you want to read up more about me, please go to my website, nancynatz.com. In the movie High Spirits, Daryl Hannah is the murdered bride. And then the gentleman coming in has brought his wife for a honeymoon in a castle that was owned by Peter O'Toole. Well, the guest has disrupted her haunting of the castle, and they somehow fall in love. And she said that in spirit, she had discovered that intimacy is possible. And if you want to see what that's about, that's a really fun, silly movie, but it has a few things in there that might amuse you, called High, H-I-G-H, Spirits. And what she does is he stands there and she runs her arms and body through his on purpose. I don't know what she was thinking, but spirit people have told me that there is love and affection in the land of spirit. And I'm really not sure what it is. Brian Weiss and Bruce Goldberg are a couple of my favorite writers for now. There's so many that I've read lately, and I will mention them over time. But they do speak of spirit land, where people are connecting to those who they loved, not as family, but also as husband and wife. And Bruce Goldberg and Dr. Brian Weiss, speak of soulmates. They speak of twin flames. They talk about karmic relationships. And so I do believe that even though people, and we could talk about love sometime in the future, love relationships are exciting and thrilling and disastrous and painful, they might be a situation that has fulfilled a choice, whether it was from the past or so near past or thousands of years ago. Okay, I was just thinking, I have not given out the call-in number for tonight. The call-in number is 347, prefix 205-9071. Now, this doesn't lend itself to the idea that you may be thinking, well, what about ghosts and hauntings? Do they experience love and affection, intimacy, whether I don't believe we call it sex in spirit land? Remember, that memory is being held for me. And that brought up a thought I just might mention. I had a spirit person tell me once, without us, you would be an animal. And I went, oh, shook all over. I said, what are you talking about? Well, we sort of are animals, aren't we? And they said, not quite. There is a personality in animals, but do they have the soul of humans? I didn't get the impression that was different, but it is on some level. So it might be a degree of spiritual growth, but they choose not to influence us. And I said, I don't understand. And the idea was is that there is a block of some level between where I go in time to where you exist in the present. If you could go where I go and got that memory of the past and who you really are, then you would have access to all your time. They sometimes call that the Akashic Records. Oh, I'm getting a call coming in. If it's an audience member, go ahead and hang up, and I'll answer the phone question online, 347-205-9071. But anyway, they did hang up. Okay, so maybe I'll have that was a little bit disrupting. But anyway, what I'm saying to you, that readers sometimes will have access to what you're meant to forget. If your soul level says, okay, I'm playing this out as Nancy. My soul level is who I am and has created a block from my brain activity to my soul level. If that were possible, would I know who I've been married twice? My first husband might have been to me in a prior life. would I have chosen him again? Would I have known who my children were to me in the past? Would I know who they will be in the future? Will I know what interactions they'll have with me or with each other if I could remember and know all that my soul knows? So when I go to the base of your neck, enter time, on some level, my soul has permission from yours to access time. So this is a very complex topic tonight because I'm speaking to the joining of soul to flesh for the first time, which is taken at the first breath. The soul just connecting from flesh, this process of dying, which is can be as traumatic as birth itself, from hours to days, to trying to leave the body in pieces and parts, whole or in recovery. The connection of soul to flesh at a deeper level where humanness is not allowed to know everything. If that veil were to be lifted and you would know everything your soul knows, then the lessons, the life, the experience, the excitement of discovery and choice would be taken from you in this life. And that's why we're here. It was a hard journey for me. I was listening to a tape. I'm dubbing cassettes to CD and VHF to DVD, which forces me to look at myself, oh my, on DVDs from 15 years back and more. But I've also been listening to some of the CDs and the lectures I've given over the years. And truly, the questions are so varied from the audiences. Why would I choose to be here? How is it done? Why do I suffer? Why have I had this and this and that? Clearly, it has been a struggle for me to understand this. And in my first book, I drew a picture of a sleeping infant. I think I mentioned this in an early show. I think this is my fourth week. And Sam, my grandson, let me draw a picture of him 4 hours old, before my daughter was even pregnant with him. Her pregnancy began 45 days after the drawing of him as a sleeping infant. If we can choose once to be here, then this was in 1990, then we have the choice to do it again and again. And for heaven's sakes, as many ladies who have been widowed and people who have lost children and have suffered through tragedies and affairs and all this, why in the world would we do it again? But we do. And Spirit speaks to me, it's not the hardest and the greatest rewards and losses, but all the combinations of all the pleasures and the smallest rewards. I had a gentleman tell me once when his daughter came to visit me, tell her to have a cup of coffee for me. And I really didn't know what to say because it seemed so trivial at the time. So I told her this, and she says, oh my gosh, he lived alone after mom's death. I would go to his home. I'd make a pot of coffee. I would sit there with his cup there, and I would sit here, and I'd wrap my hands around the cup, waiting for him to come out, just smelling the aroma. He said to me, of the things I missed that coffee with her in the morning. Well, I had to chuckle. If you know, I have a cup of hazelnut coffee here, and it is fresh, and it smells, oh, so good. But I also really like kissing baby toes. Now, I have been married, and I like married life. I also like single life, but I've had hardships. I've had cancer. I have had hard times. I cannot possibly talk to you about what's happened with you if I hadn't walked in the shards of glass. But as a spirit person, maybe what I'll remember, maybe my first romance, my first kiss, having a baby, maybe the hardest things I will forget because it made me who I am today. But maybe what I'll remember is my granddaughter who came in November, seeing her for the first time and smelling her, kissing her fingers and toes, having that fresh cup of coffee in the morning. It's been raining here today. And my office is so cozy. I have a cup of coffee here. Maybe that's why we come. Maybe it's for the minor things, the things as exciting as a cup of coffee. Not to lend itself to say that romance isn't exciting, but everything is. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, in Tully, I think I'm back on. Okay, my dear, let me know that you hear me, and one of you kids, give me a little note that I'm on the air. Okay, well, I'm going to continue talking because I am recording this. If you ever, anybody in the future would like a copy of tonight's show or any of the other shows, make sure that you email me at nancymatz.com. Oh, she got me. Yes. Well, we had a drop call out in this part of the world. I don't know what causes it. Like I said, there is a storm going on. In my part of the world, we have a lot of wind storms. Though I can't hear it, we have had one off and on all day. So I'd like to open it up so that I have a chance to answer as many questions as I can from you kids writing in questions, okay? When the last thing I was speaking of is the death process, and it's quite complicated. If you, and listening to me over this last 4 weeks, I have so much information. I am writing as many books as I can. How fast can I type and work at the same time? I talk to God and I say, now listen here. You want me to type all these books for you? You got to give me some spare time, but you got to watch what you ask for also. All right, so I invite you to call in 347-205-9071 or write me a little note and I'll answer it, and then I'll just keep talking until we get some more questions. I apologize. Anything you'd like to ask if you have questions? One of the shows I would like to cover is I have kids that call me, young people who have children, and the parents are saying to me, how do I deal with a child who says I'm not their mom, but their mom is in heaven? Wow. So that I spoke to once before is the unbelievable story that if we live once, we can live more times. When you get to an idea that that may be very possible, then the life process of coming into life and the dying process, leaving flesh, is very normal, very interesting, very exciting. And I was asking Spirit one day, I says, what does your world look like? And he says, we can create any environment, any place, any time that we wish. The movie, I'll make another reference, there is what we call a celestial city. I would say to you, if a person in the middle of a room held a ball up, and then someone else came in and said, oh, you're holding a ball, let me hold it with you, and they put their hands on top of it. After a while, you couldn't see the ball, but people come in and would say, I see a ball in the room, but no one can see it, but the hands are on it. You can create a city by thought. So the more people you have, think of something. So in the movie, What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams, there's a celestial city. My mind and the spirit people say there is a city. Those who wish to not be in the city can create any environment of their liking. And one, so Robin Williams, when he passes away, enters his wife's paintings, which is very interesting. So spirit people say to me, any time, any place, any dimension they want to go, they can. I don't know if you want to call them tourism, but it would be tourism to the nth degree. Okay. I have heard before. Is this live? I swear what I'm hearing tonight, I have heard before, word for word. There is such a thing, prophetic dreams. And I call people who access their own time during waking time as sliders. And then we have situations when we have the waking dreams, where you have a kind of like a vision. And then you have what you have prophetic dreams. And during my life, this has been almost disrupting to me, that I can have a conversation with somebody or activity around me. All of a sudden, word for word, I'll know what the next person's saying. I'll know someone's going to come in the room. And it's kind of like deja vu to the tilt. And I sometimes wonder if that's not, Telly, did I miss a question? Okay, let me go back up. That prophetic dreams are usually when you have the whole situation of knowing what's going to happen next. I don't call them time rifts. Some people think that you can access time yourself and do that. I think we can do it for 10, 15 seconds, but not whole conversations. And let me tell you, I've kind of had a twirl around in my head when conversations can go on and I know what the next person will say. All right, Tally, where is your question? You may have to ask again. Is this that? Do you have any sound? Oh, no, that's, I fell off the air. Tally, looks like some spirits are playing with your equipment. Yes, I do believe that. And I have actually had things, my husband thinks I misplace things, but I kind of wonder if spirit people aren't playing with me, because I'll put something down and it conveniently disappears until I no longer need it. here's an interesting, Tally, you're just so good at this. You're going to have to email me and let me know how come you can think of such good questions. Tally said, how can you, she went to my website. This is one of the questions that Kim gave me a few years back, and I typed all 52 of her questions on my website. Could you tell me how old my soul is and if this is my last incarnation? Also, if I have had a lifetime on another planet with high technology, I sense I used high technology somehow. Wow, what a lot of questions. I invite everybody else to tell you, you're going to get it, girl. If there's nobody else listening, you can just have as many questions you want. I base my soul measurement on 1 to 10. Well, 1 to 100 or 1 to 50 probably would make more sense. But how could I narrow it down? They're showing me two lifetimes, pardon me, at least two that affect you now on other dimensional levels or planets, okay? One of them clearly was a technology, a dry planet, and the other one was a high moisture planet. I would be foolhardy to say water. We don't know if the conditions would be the same. I see a lot of grief in lifetimes. So you're catching up in this lifetime. I hope you've had a lot of prosperity, good things happen for you, I hope, but they show me a catch-up. I would put you about an 8. So that's pretty good. How's that? Okay. High technology, yes, me too. I am a geek. You should see my house. I love everything technology. Engineering, I enjoyed engineering. Manholes and conduit and drafting was what I loved to do. But I love gadgets. Crazy about it. So did that play into any of my past lives? From what I can see, no. But the interest is there. So maybe it's new technology I'm yearning to learn more of. Did it come from a higher level planet? Who knows? But you clearly have had. Now, someone's going to write and say, well, then you believe in UFO visitation here. I don't know if they're from somewhere else. They could be from our future. But I do believe we're not the only ones in this big melting pot of universe. I think I had messed up. I was listening to a recording. Did she answer my question? Do you know? Oh, I did. K-V-I-L-L-A. I did answer about your child, your youngest boy. So download the first part of my show tomorrow, and you'll hear me answer. Okay? So go ahead and do that. Looks like we have 6 people on. I wonder if I missed anything else. Thank you, Nancy. I have had many dreams holding objects radiating light many times. Wow, that's really amazing. You know, we have, of course, the ancients of our planet, those who left records only on rocks. Who said they couldn't have put it on manuscripts and buried it somewhere? But you know, Tully, they say that there might have been at least 4 super civilizations on our planet prior to this time. Like I said, I see one planet, not necessarily Earth. Technology was great there. The other one is a moisture-filled environment, kind of like a blue-gray. Was the technology there, or did you have lifetimes here on Earth that were subsequently destroyed, like the dinosaur 65 million years ago, and that is memories of this planet? I don't know. Did you say this in my last incarnation? Oh, what a question. I think we'd all like to think this is our last, but spirit people say, spirit people say that when you become a spirit person again, as you've had life here, you will have life there. And they get hungry to experience flesh, and you'll say, oh my gosh. You know, how many times I've been to the dentist, and I swear I'll never do it again. But what I'm speaking to is our density. They like that we're thick. We have solidness. We can grab, we can be hugged, we can smell. And they miss that. They miss the feeling of connectiveness to people, place, and things. So I wish I could say it was last carnation for you. Incarnation. Boy, what a slip of the tongue. An incarnation. But don't minimize how important it is, even if you're suffering at times, that that experience is looked back as a memory and a fond memory of experiencing life. And I've had my share of this lifetime. Atelli says, I answered her on technology. She says, yes, I've had great talk technology from somewhere. Oh, okay, I guess I understand that about what I said about coming back. Bruce Goldberg also with Brian Weiss, and I make reference because it's the most recent books I read of both of theirs, believes that we can have, not as a past life regression, but a future life experience through regression work. And so I've not gone to him, but I had a friend who was interested in knowing. And so I experienced something when she started talking to me about it, and I've had flashes of a future life. And I see myself then as a woman, where most of my last lifetimes, I've seen myself as men, which kind of explains why I was a long-distance runner and very athletic all my life and rode horses and very feminine, very masculine sports. But anyway, I always saw myself as a man. But in the future life, I see myself as a taller, light-complected woman. And I've always said to people, I've always said I'm too short for my weight, but I'm 5'5", 5'4 and a half probably now. And in that vision of the future, what I call waking dream, I have a sense of being in the kitchen, and I can watch myself, well, actually in myself, walking into the front room. And in that movie, oh my gosh, I want to remember what it is, Arnold Schwarzenegger goes to Mars, and they created a city with glass fronts to apartments. I've been having that dream since that waking vision for 20-some years. That was before Arnold Schwarzenegger made that movie. Maybe someone can write that and put it in the chat room for me. But anyway, it's an apartment with all glass fronts, and I can see flying cars, and I have a sense of a lot of technology. And maybe I'm experiencing a future life in this life also simultaneously. Maybe that's why technology is so interesting to me. Okay, Total Recall is the movie. All right. God, she's good. Tell me, you should have your own show. Girl, you just know all this stuff. But in Total Recall, living on that other planet, the glass enclosed many floors. And that's exactly what I see in this vision. And the apartment is very light in color, pale beige or off-white. And the clothing she has is the same with the glass frontage. And I can see flying cars. My son is an engineer. Couldn't get away from it, poor kid. And I said, if I could figure out what I'm seeing, I would like to draw it up and have him design it. Why not? Why? If I could figure out who that was, I'd put an invention in with her name on it so she would inherit the profit. But that's that. Movie is Total Call. Okay, Nancy, if this is my last incarnation, can you see a future one? Oh, my gosh. This is one of my favorite movies of absolutely all time. You can see that I don't watch much TV, but I have watched a lot of movies. And Barbara Streisand was in a movie, and thinking of it very quickly, On a Clear Day. The movie is called On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever. And it is fabulous. It is so fun. And this woman wants it for the audience who have never seen it. It was very early in her career. I think it was the late 60s, early 70s it was made. And Barbara Streisand is trying to quit smoking for her fiance. Well, the hypnotist regresses her to a past life where he falls in love with her. At the end of the movie, he regresses her, lowers her conscious level so he can ask a question. And he says, will we have a future life together? And then she curls up and wraps her arms around herself, and she says, oh, we're going to have the most fabulous love life. And with that, Telly, I believe that if you want a future life, we can almost dictate what we do want to experience. So if I said to you, we need to put a plan together of what you want in this lifetime to accomplish and to be satisfied and say and create a future lifetime experience doing something. And so you ladies out there who have had failed relationships or life experiences, not that you're going to be in direct competition with Mr. Trump, but you can say, I would like to know what it feels like to live in a very affluent lifestyle, but I want to be happy. I want children in my life. Whatever it is you desire, I feel like we can create that as well as we can create. And I imagine a lot of ladies have said this out there. If I can't have them this lifetime, can I have them next lifetime? You have to be also very careful how you word it, because you may be the parent of that person. But if you say, Telly, I don't want you to have to think of coming back, you'll have free will. But also, you have the option of choosing to be in a particular life before many of the members have had the chance to be born. Say you're in spirit with a grandparent that will be your grandparent in future life. You can line that up. One day I said to these people, I don't understand. What do you have, a crystal ball you look into? Like maybe people think I have, right? And they do say to me they have access to dimension and all time. How that works, haven't figured it out yet. Remember, I'm only a human being. And one day they said to me, you're not quite smart enough to get the concept. Well, but they did show to me, I was flying to visit my son when he was at college in ASU, and they said to me, look over in the window, and I saw a subdivision with all the little driveways, all the streets, and they said, all of us for all time is a spider web of connections. So we will connect with our line to a future line, and we go down either a biological line or a line of interest. So we have to say, okay, if your interest is to ride horses, become involved with horses so your love of animals can be brought to you in a future life. That's how we determine what we want to do. All dimensions, all time is a large arena. There are theories out there that spirit can fragment itself and it lives in some space other than in flesh and coexist with flesh on many levels or many times. I'm having a hard time with that. I'm having a hard time figuring how that works. I'd like to think that if there's a soul or a spirit within me, I have all of its attention, and at the time of death, that which I am will become blended with that personality, and the remembrances will be all clear to me. To think there could be 10 of me doing all this simultaneously, like I had cancer at 39, that I died at that point, I'm not sure. If I were a man in the Old West, is that life coexisting as I am with as a woman? Oh, no. That's a lot. That's almost too heavy to think about in 10 minutes. Telly, geez, we could get lost. Love it a lot. You know, that's the idea, is that we have to take all these theories and feel it and put it against us and say, how do you feel with that? When my granddaughter was born, was before I got into this, she was, she's 19 now. So 19 years ago, she was born with cords wrapped around her neck, and she was born dead. Blue, I tell you, girl, that child was blue, blue, blue. And I shook my fist at the child, and I said, I'm not ready for you to be dead. I was in the delivery room with my daughter. And as I did that third shake of my fist and point that finger at that child, as a nurse and everybody was working on that child with oxygen, she took a breath. I don't know if she came for me. I don't know what it was, but she must have heard me. That first breath, that soul went, uh-oh, Grandma has spoken. I'm going to be part of Jacqueline, and I'm going to be part of this world. I can't speak to that. Or maybe it had to be determination. This child has a lot of drive. Maybe the thrill, I mean, of being born, but an indecision to stay. And now that the child is here, she's a wonderful adult. So there's a lot of... Oh, see, now, Telly, you're just right there. Nancy, when we die, do we reunite with all of ourselves? Now, that is two thoughts. If you're thinking of fragmented spirit going to many physical lifetimes, can't quite get that one. But the memories of all the experiences are remembered. The spirit person is the personality of who we are. When we join back with spirit, we may not remember a caveman lifetime and that personality as much as we will remember what we experienced. So clearly we have memory of all the lifetimes. As a spirit person, I asked one day, well, what do? Sit around and brag about all the lifetimes of what you've done? And the answer was yes. That's why I pulled in, maybe it was Tali, one of the other questions. That's why we have the choice to experience all or nothing in this life. If we choose nothing, then we take no news with us. If we have good news, as Tali says, then when we become spirit people, again with those in spirit waiting for us to return, then we can share what we've learned. And through the memories of the lifetime, as I would say to you, go back to a wedding, giving a birth, or a terrific trip, whatever you, the most recent wonderful memory you can think of, you can go back to that moment in time and experience that. And that's another whole show. But you can relive a moment so it's so clear that it feels like you're experiencing it. That's what spirit tells me they do. They can recreate a memory from a lifetime on another planet or a caveman to present day and experience it so fully, or go back in time to when they did experience it, like the wedding I had to my second husband. As a spirit person, not woman or man, I can go back in time to when I got married and experience that life event in the totality of it. Not only have the memory of it, but the physical knows, but then to watch it like a movie. I tell you, this could be very interesting books. Put all these words together, but the shows are more fun. These blog shows, and I was on another show, Contact Talk Radio, the other night. It was so fun to watch all the people write in and do the talk shows, the questions again. There's another person coming in. thank you, Tali, for the compliment. You are a clear and pure mountain stream nourishing us all. Thank you. So the end of the show must be very, very close. We only have 2 more minutes. I thought I saw another lady come in. Okay. I think, Tali, it's because I'm so curious to know more. When I faced cancer, and in 87 when I was diagnosed, really, we didn't know if I was going to live or not. It was a very scary time when I was at the brink of knowing I would live. I said, there has to be more, and I've not stopped. And I have girlfriends telling me, Nancy, do you ever sit out? No, I don't. I watch some TV to kind of rest my brain at times because I'm always thinking, and I'm trying to write some books and get caught up and put these precious tapes and videos on as CDs and DVDs, because through your questions are more books. And I want to thank all of you for coming tonight and visiting with me. And I apologize, we had a drop call, and I was got at something else I need to learn is how to get back in. I did try the phone number, and it wouldn't let me in, so the third time was the charm. Come back and visit me next week. Every week, if you have topics you'd like me to cover, write me a note at nancy@nancymaps.com. And my website is nancymaps.com, M like in Mary, A-T-Z. And we've probably got a few seconds left. And I want to thank you. My music tonight was by Paragon.com. You can go to my website and see the buttons. He's offering specials for anybody that would like. If you have websites and you would like music created just for you, I invite you to go to nancymaps.com. A young man who lives in Idaho is creating music with his words of me was a lady with the long black hair, and they're written just for me. So if you're interested, go to my website. The other site I would like to introduce you to is contactpsychics.com. We share a sister dating site. And they've introduced me to Blog Talk, and I'm so grateful. So anyway, we have 15 seconds left. I want to thank you, and I invite you all to come back. And Tali, one of the days you'll have to email me and let me know how you know so much. Thank you for being my guest tonight.